Before we get going in this episode, you're going to need to know what these are. They're called Quimbaya artifacts, or Tolima jets, according to the Ancient Aliens guys. They're artifacts that were found in South America a while back, and to the people that are, you know, the Ancient Aliens types, it's proof that aliens flew around. To the hardcore Atlantean types, they're proof that Atlanteans had planes. You're going to need to know what these are before the video's done. Alright, something that needs addressed before I get going in this video, because a few people seem to need some clarification here. Me and Milo are friends. The difference is the video. I mean, I'm not like buddies, he's not going to have me godfather his kids or anything, but like, we get along just fine. It's just, there's a difference between how we act in a video and how we act in emails. And I'm sure that he didn't email Graham Hancock with the same snark that he uses in his videos, right? But you want to make him entertaining. You don't want to be... So you take some jabs, man. You make it fun, right? Anyway, let's get that out of the way so that people can understand that, like, you know, the fun that we have in the video is not the same behind-the-scenes stuff that is going on between me and Milo. He wouldn't have shouted out to me if... He wouldn't have sent you all here if he didn't, you know, like me to some degree.
Ancient Apocalypse episode 4, Ghost of a Ground World is Ground World. Ghost of a Ground Beef is the worst episode in the entire series Ancient Apocalypse.
He is absolutely right here. This is the worst episode of Ancient Apocalypse, and that puts me on an off footing here because I'm the one stepping in trying to defend it, huh? Good times.
Let's kick this lesson off with the Bimini Wall. For those of you who have seen the series, you're probably looking at that and thinking, Bimini Wall? That's not what it's called. It's clearly called the Bimini Road. Look at that. The reason why I clarify that this is the Bimini Wall and not the Bimini Road is because it's very similar to the Dendera Light conundrum, where if you use a word like road, it plants in your head the idea that that's exactly what it is. I mean, to be fair, wall could also give you the idea that they're going to be talking about a real wall, but at least it's not quite as associated with something humans build.
Now, why I get why you would want to make sure that people don't think, oh my god, this is a road that somebody built. Changing the word from road to wall doesn't really effectively do that, like you say, and not only that, it kind of looks stupid because it looks more like a road than a wall. So, I mean, from the outside, it kind of looks dumb. I mean, not just from some tinfoil hat type like myself, it just kind of looks like being pedantic to make sure that there's... No, that's not a road. That's a wall. Well, no, it looks like a fucking road, man.
The entire island is covered in beach rock. Open a new tab right now as you're watching this video. Google the island of Bimini and just drop the little Google Maps guy on any one of the photospheres or any one of the, like, roads. You will see beach rock literally everywhere because it is an island in a tropical environment. All they had to do was show a shot in a different place than off the coast here, and you would see stuff like this literally everywhere.
Well, that's not exactly true, though, is it? I mean, you can look at all different pictures and you'll see a bunch of beach rock, but you ain't gonna see nothing that looks as man-made as this does. Nothing remotely looking as man-made as this does. I mean, no matter what the eventual scientific outcome turns out to be, it's quite obvious that there's a reason that people go look at it. It looks like a fucking road, man.
Last but not least, there's no road stuff. You have a gigantic road that you say was used by, like, the most advanced civilization to ever walk the face of the earth, and it doesn't have wheel ruts in it. The island of Malta has wheel ruts that are, like, multiple inches deep, and those were done by your simple hunter-gatherers. You're telling me that the most advanced civilization on earth doesn't leave wheel ruts? Maybe it was flying cars. Who knows?
This is the kind of incredulousness that I cannot believe that I'm dealing with here. Just to show you what I think the Bimini Road was used for, I actually had to hire an animator and a musician just to, like, get this a point across. So I hope you're happy. Enjoy. 12,000 years ago, only one pile of beach rock could save humanity from certain destruction. Revving up your engines, listen to the howling roar, roar, roar. Tom Cruise stars in
something, yeah, touch and go. It's a highway
Stone
to
Age
the
aircraft
danger
carrier.
Zone. We're gonna take a ride in to the danger zone.
Now, obviously, this is all a big joke right there. The Bimini Road is It is by far the worst evidence Graham Hancock could ever drag out here. it is by far the worst evidence he could drag out here. As a matter of fact, this episode makes me bristle when I watch it, especially where he ends up taking it.
That the Bimini Road is not an archaeological site. At this spot, at a paleo-indigenous site in northern Maine, which would have been objectively less technologically advanced than the city of Atlantis, they were able to find more artifacts than they are at the Bimini Road, a supposed thoroughfare to one of the most advanced civilizations to ever exist.
Now, besides a couple of small things that I pointed out, for real, for the most part, Milo's right about everything about Bimini. It's fucking beach rock, it's pretty much in situ beach rock. It has been in the same spot since before I was born. It is old. It ain't being moved around by people. It's beach rock. All right. I really do not like the fact that Hancock went here. If it's one of the worst, probably the worst site for him to pick, and he keeps going there. You know, I bring this up to point out a flaw in his logic, basically. If you think about, like, imagine the world ended tomorrow and there's, like, all these people scratching around in the dirt to survive. You don't think every piece of tech would be scavenged by somebody in, like, 50 years? Like, everything? There wouldn't be anything laying around? I mean, you've seen Mad Max, right? The little kids all enthralled with the freaking music box, right? It's... So, yeah, you're not going to, unless they're making bottle caps and shit. Yeah, if they're making garbage, you probably, but even that, I mean, look at what the Viet Cong did with that in Vietnam. You couldn't leave any garbage around because it was better than what nature provided as far as providing like an airtight seal and stuff like that. So everything's going to be used to some degree. So that's not a greatest argument, to be honest with you.
You want to know what the single most concrete evidence is for anything ever? My God, here we go again. I have talked about this before on my channel. I have an episode of my awful archaeology series on the Ornish's Phineas map. Go check it out if you want. It's a pretty good one. And now what's hilarious is that Graham Hancock actually shows the Ornish's Phineas map on this table of maps that he's looking at in this series. And when I saw that there, I almost had a heart attack.
Yeah, Milo's video on the Ornish's Phineas map is definitely worth checking out. If you haven't seen it, you should. If you're watching me, you probably have already, but anyway, you should check it out. There is a thing, though. Look at how much that does look like Antarctica, right? And then compare it with the Piri Reis map that we're going to talk about here. And why does the Piri Reis map always get brought up in these conversations first? It's like the first one you hear about. It's the one that you always get talked about. There's a couple of reasons, actually, and I'm going to explain them to you before this is done.
So Graham Hancock is going to look at a couple old maps, and he notes that these old maps are created using a compilation of other older source maps, maps drawn by people hundreds of years ago who had a ton of other less accurate maps drawn by people even more hundreds of years ago. I don't know, man. This evidence doesn't seem very good, but let's hear him out. So it's also worth noting that all of the source maps for this were drawn by people who were in wooden ships sailing around the world with a pencil. And if you are telling me that that is more reliable than modern scientific data and satellite imagery, then you are absolutely off your rocker.
Now pay attention to what he said right there. These people did not have the same tech we do now. They were using a pencil. They were these things should not be remotely as accurate as what we have now on any stretch.
But anyway, let's see what Graham Hancock uses to support this. The Piri Reis map, favorite of conspiracy theorists and sailors from 500 years ago. Now, Graham Hancock notes that the Piri Reis map was created using 20 or so source maps, which I already told you what the problem is with using source maps, so keep in mind that there are 20 different ways for errors to show up in this map. Now, he says that what this map is showing with this island is the island of Bimini.
I am so sick and tired of talking about Bimini. No, we're not talking about Bimini anymore. We're talking about the Piri Reis map. And this is why Graham Hancock pissed me off even extra bad on this episode. He didn't just take us to Bimini and piss all over this by trying to hold up beach rock next to the fucking pyramids as evidence. Didn't even bring the pyramids as evidence in this series, for fuck's sake. In addition to that, he uses it to defile the Piri Reis map in a brand new way. I mean, we've already had everybody going around with the Antarctica thing. And we're going to talk about the Piri Reis map for a second. I want to explain to you why it's the one you always see instead of all the others. Now, there's really three things about the Piri Reis map that are notable. And two of them you'll find interesting. One of them is definitely interesting to me as well. And it will be interesting to a lot of the other people too. But you'll understand why when we get there. The first thing is the entire projection that it's used is about 50 years out of date. The Mercator projection is what it's said to have been used, or very, very similar to it. And that was a little bit more complicated than what they had. It's about 50 years later. Now, Occam's Razor obviously says that this didn't come from 1,000 years ago in all these different source maps. Occam's Razor would say that that projection, especially with all these different source maps involved, was probably an invention of these people that were making the maps, and that it was a trade secret that was hidden. And then Mercator down the road, a generation or two generations later, decided to just stamp his name on it. Probably didn't invent the damn thing. Sounds like a conspiracy, but we have two options here, right? Either Mercator or this projection is 50 years out of date. So that's there's that. The next thing is pretty tied to it, and this is where we start to get a little bit crazy. It's got really, really accurate longitude between Brazil and Africa, and I don't just mean really accurate, I mean dummy accurate, like dang near modern accurate, like 250 years out of date accurate. Now, scientists won't say it's 250 years out of date. They will say that it has the most accurate longitude of any map of its time. And what's the big deal about that is that longitude requires working clocks that are precision. Like, you have to have two clocks that keep the same time in different places in order to make longitude work. So, and the third thing that you're going to find that's really interesting about this, at least it is to me, is that the map is centered on basically on Giza. They won't ever say that in the science. It's Northern Africa, but if you do, it's right there, basically at the three pyramids, which of course makes it kind of cool because if you're talking about lost secret tech, well, there's your grand hub. Now, to be clear, I don't think it was some freaking electricity. I don't think it was woo. I don't think it was, but somehow this map got made. So somebody had some sort of working clock. Whether that clock was half the size of the boat or not, I don't know. But somehow they had something that worked, because they've got longitude there that we weren't able to emulate. Look, in the early 1700s, which is 200 years after this, they were losing so many ships that the British royalty put up a 20,000 pound prize, which is equivalent to like $1.5 million today, to like anybody that could come up with an accurate way to get longitude nailed down, because it's so freaking hard. It was such a problem. They were losing so many ships, even with clocks, because they weren't super accurate. They were just kind of accurate. The point is the Piri Reis map is kind of a deep well, and there is some cool things about it. It's one of the genuine mysteries out there. So it really saddens me to see it associated with the Bimini Road or with Antarctica. No, that's not Antarctica on the bottom. No, 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 no. God.
What Caribbean island has a mountain chain running down the middle of it and is more or less this shape? Well, firstly, we need to rotate the map north, because leaving it oriented like this is, you know, really misleading.
I don't really get what this is all about. I'm not seeing anything that says that the map is oriented that way. And look at one of the arrows on the bottom there. It's like pointed to the left. It's like, that's obviously Brazil. That's obviously west. What are you talking about? It's pointed north. What are you talking about? Anyway, if you watch Milo's video about the Ornithus Phineus map, you will notice him say this.
Patrick Matthews found that in order to reach the same conclusion that Hapgood had, one would have to jump to an inconceivable amount of conclusions, including, comedically, editing the map. Here's a little list of all the things Hapgood would have to manipulate in order to prove that his claim was real. He would have to rotate Terra Australis by 20 degrees, which is a lot.
So this is one of those things where it just depends on what side of the fence you're on, which side of the standard you're going to pick up that day.
But the best part about this map is that Graham Hancock claims that it shows Antarctica being ice-free, which is weird because it doesn't. It shows South America. I know I mentioned this in a previous episode, but Stefan Milo has a great video going over this whole thing. I highly recommend you check it out as well. He has a wonderful channel. And one of the things that he pointed out, which I thought was really funny, is on this part of the map that is supposedly the coast of Antarctica, it says the place with all the snakes. Which, does that sound more like South America or Antarctica to you?
There he is giving a shout out to big old stinky Milo before I even got one. But this actually is kind of part of the problem, this Antarctica thing. That and this Bimini Road bullshit apparently now. God, I mean, the Antilia, they just keep throwing all these things in there that like obfuscates from the real mystery. Like I said, the longitude, that is like heavy. That's a heavy mystery right there. Remember my video about archaeological bias, and I talked about Petrie's drill cores and how famous they are, but how little research is done on them? stick your nose into this rabbit hole for a minute. Go digging around on the internet. It is insane. Insane. The bullshit that surfaces to the top, because there's so little science done. And what science is done, it seems like it's almost all debunking the claim of Antarctica. Whoopity-doo. Yeah, okay, so some military dude back in the 50s said, or 1960, I think, said this crap about it, like, yes, it's definitely, it looks like Queen Maud land on this part, but that's been pretty heavily debunked, and there's a lot of maps that have this kind of crap at the bottom from back then, but then it's really varied. But again, this, like, longitude, that's a true mystery there. Even the Mercator projection being used is pretty intriguing. That's not, I mean, it's 50 years out of date, man. That's cool. But the 200 years out of date, 250 years out of date, that's fucking mind-boggling. To me, that's a real mystery. When the scientists themselves can't really account for what, no, they're not going to say it's 250 years difference in long, but you fucking look at it, and it certainly is. And they'll tell you, yeah, this thing's got really good longitude for its era, the best around. Yeah, it's anomalous. But no, we'll just talk about Antarctica. So any scientist that wants to look at it, well, fuck all that. I don't want to kill my career, so I'm not going to be lumped in with those fucking crazy guys. So I'm just going to slam dunk this Antarctica thing because it's an easy dunk and then walk away from it. And that sucks because the Piri Reis map is actually really interesting. All right, that's all I've got for you today. Thanks a lot. You know, don't forget to like and subscribe. Really appreciate all the support and stuff. I'll keep the videos coming as long as you guys keep watching them. Have a good day.